All right, good morning, everyone. Thank you to the Franklin family for sponsoring. Thank you to the Marilis family for getting the donuts this morning as well. This week, the story is as follows. Man in Bnei Brak goes to buy a new raincoat, goes to a clothing store, and it is Erev Lag BaOmer. So Lag BaOmer, a lot of people go to Meron, which is a very long drive from Bnei Brak, or a long bus ride. So the store owner was in a big rush, was closing early. He wanted to get to his bonfire at Meron. And so he said, okay, we're closing at 3 p.m. sharp. Everybody's got to be out of here. One of the guys was trying something on in the dressing room. And you can figure out what's going to happen. He's in a rush, 3 p.m., he locks up, leaves, speeds away in his car. Meanwhile, the guy walks out of the dressing room to a dark store, and he's locked in. And the guy is certainly not coming back anytime soon. He's going to Meron, he's probably going to get back at best, like 2 in the morning. So he's going to be in this. He's going to be locked in this store easily for about 12 hours. And he has to daven mincha. But he also wants to just get out. So the question is this guy who's been accidentally locked in a store and the owner is nowhere to be found right now, is he, and he doesn't have any contact information, is he able to basically break the glass in the door to get out? Or does he have to, I don't know, call the police? To tell them so the police can either get a locksmith or break him out themselves or open the door somehow. Or just can he break the glass and walk out? Any thoughts?
Call the police.
You say call the police. Why?
Because you don't want to hurt anybody, call the police. Because his family, they are looking for him. The owner doesn't know everything. Police will send somebody to open the door.
Right. So presumably the police will be able to help this man. It could take a while, right? It's a low priority. Nobody's in danger, and they'll know where he is, so he'll be stuck there for a while. They'll try to contact the owner. They'll try to get a locksmith. But presumably, he'll be okay. You know, we don't think there's any medical emergencies. So you say that he should call the police. They'll sort it out. It'll take however long it takes, and he has to wait there. Anybody disagree? Yeah, why?
Well, if he would break the glass, he would be responsible for paying for it. So,
So you say that he's allowed to, but he would have to pay?
No.
Oh, no.
I don't think he should do it at all.
Oh.
I'm just saying, if that is the way that this goes, he shouldn't have to pay for it.
Okay.
Did the owner make an announcement that he was leaving at 3? Or did he just leave?
So he posted hours. I don't think he, yelled closing time. But you know, nobody, everybody was in a rush. Nobody noticed. It was all chick-chack.
It's kind of on the owner that he didn't, check and make sure. So, if anything breaks or if the man breaks the glass to get out, it could be all put on the owner.
So you say it's the store owner's fault. Your job when you lock up the store is to make sure there's nobody left inside. And, you know, it was a rush day, but that's your fault. That's the responsibility of the store owner. So, the Gemara, this is not exactly our case, but we'll try to expand it to our case. The Gemara basically says that if I fill somebody else's property with barrels filled with stuff, and I block the guy from being able to walk out of his property, he is allowed to basically walk through all the barrels and break them if that's the only way that he's able to get out. Why is that? So the Mefarshim explain it's because the person that put all the barrels there was negligent. It's not that it was only illegal, it was negligent. I'm basically, you know, hanging up a sign that says, I don't care what happens to these barrels if I stick them in someone else's property. And I blocked your way, so that's how you get out. You break barrels. So the Chazon Ish, he explains based on a contradiction with another Gemara and with Tosfos, he says that it's a little bit more complicated. He says that if it would take a lot of effort, if it would be a big imposition, so then you're allowed to break through. You're allowed to break through all the barrels. If it's not an imposition, meaning if you're basic, if it's only a couple of barrels and all you got to do is just put them on the side, so then you're not allowed to smash them. You have to take a couple of minutes and lift the barrels and move them aside. But if there's something, if the perpetrator did something so crazy that no one in their right mind would ever do this, then even if it's a small imposition, you're still not obligated to pay if you end up breaking them. So the other example is like if you like fill a bunch of, if you fill the person's courtyard with a bunch of animals and you literally can't move unless you push all the animals off the road, basically. So nobody does that, and you're not obligated to pay if something happens to the animals that you push away, even if it wasn't such a big imposition. So taking that to our case, the case is flipped, meaning the negligence was the owner of the property locking somebody in his own property, but there's still negligence here. Clearly, there's two ways you could get out. One way is to break the glass, and the other way is to call the police. So calling the police could potentially take a much longer time. It's a much bigger imposition. So what would you say? Based on what I told you from the Chazon Ish, what would you say? There's one that's not a big imposition, one that's a big imposition.
Break the glass.
So you say break the glass because it's not because it's a big imposition.
You're assuming the onus is on the owner. You said the owner's negligent. Why isn't the customer negligent? The hours were posted. This guy should have gone out. I disagree with your premise.
Okay, that's okay. So you say that, look, everybody knew closing time, and so the customer also should have figured that out on his own.
It's not so clear. Like, maybe they're just in both parts.
Yeah, so you could make the argument that everybody here messed up. What Rav Zilberstein said is that, look, if you're the owner of the store, the buck stops with you. It's your responsibility to make sure that no one's in your store when you lock up. So, yes, you know, technically the customer was at fault too. But at the end of the day, the owner of the store is the one that's responsible for locking up and making sure no one's there. That's what Rav Zilberstein responds. So Rav Zilberstein said this guy is allowed to break the glass to get out and not have to wait for the police. Because he says, every store owner checks to make sure they don't lock someone in. Yeah, accidents happen, but it's really crazy. You have to check that no one's in your store. So, especially because it could be a big imposition, and even if it wasn't such a big imposition, because this is such a crazy case, that's called negligence. So he says, you're allowed to break the glass, and you don't have to pay for the glass. However, he says, once you do break the glass, so what did you just do? You basically unlocked his store for everybody to come in and steal stuff. So even though you were allowed to break the glass, you now have another mitzvah called Hashavas Aveda. Hashavas Aveda doesn't only mean if I see a lost object, I have to keep it and, you know, announce and try to find its owner. Hashavas Aveda also means I have a responsibility to protect people's stuff from getting damaged. So I've just created this scenario where everybody could just rob his store. So Rav Zilberstein said, you can get out. You can, you know, daven
anywhere.
But right. But you have to call the police and say, hey, someone broke into, you know, someone broke the glass. You could say it was you. You could say it's not. But you have to make sure that this guy's store is being protected until it can be fixed. So it's a little bit of an interesting scenario. You are allowed to break the glass. You're not responsible for the damages, but you are responsible for making sure that nobody comes in and steals stuff now that the glass is broken. So hopefully none of you guys will ever be locked in a store. Hopefully none of you guys will ever have to break the glass to get out. But something that does come up is the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. It's not only finding lost objects and trying to return them. It's also making sure that if you see somebody's property, somebody's stuff could get hurt or damaged or broken, the mitzvah is you have a responsibility to make sure that their stuff stays safe. And you should hopefully, if that ever happens, you should rise to the occasion and take that responsibility of being a fellow Jew very seriously. Yeah.
How about the situation that we have currently with these environmentalists who sit on the road, they don't have cars to pass? So is a driver is allowed to get up, and he can't just move the guy very easily. Sometimes they have to push them. Sometimes they have to start hitting because they just don't move. So at are they allowed to do that?
I don't think you're allowed to do that for a variety of reasons. I don't think you're allowed to block the road for a variety of reasons. In terms of whether you're allowed to mow them down, like you can't kill people just because they're sitting on the road. If they get hurt, are you obligated to pay for their damages? Probably the response is no, unless you clearly did something that isn't normal to do. Meaning, if you're going 100 miles an hour and you sideswipe them, and they lose an arm because of that, so. If you were driving normally, that wouldn't have happened. So maybe then you could make the argument that you'd be liable. But, if you're just doing what's normal to be expected and they plop themselves on the road, I wouldn't advocate doing it. But if you do, I don't think you're financially responsible. Yeah.
Before this person trapped in the store breaks the glass, shouldn't you be obligated to call the police and see how long it will take them to respond?
So that boils down to whether you believe this case is something that is so far beyond the pale of normal or not. Meaning, if you think that, as the Chazon Ish said, that if there's a lot of work involved, then you don't have to. If there's not so much work involved, you have to go the extra mile. But the Chazon Ish also said that if this case is so far removed from the pale of reality, from reality or what's normally done, then even if it's just a little bit of effort, I'm not expected to do that because that's just negligence on the other person's part. So Rav Zilberstein felt that this particular case of locking somebody in a store is so beyond normal that even just a little bit of effort is not needed. Or he could have just known the B'nai Brak's police response time for somebody locked in a store wasn't so great on Erev Lag BaOmer. I don't know. That's what it would depend on.
How many years ago Chazon Ish said this? How many years ago?
Oh, I don't know when he wrote it. Probably about 70, 80 years ago at this point.
Those days there was a telephone and electricity.
Well, no. It was electricity. I don't think I don't think stores had telephones at that point. No.
Definitely not cell phones.
No, we have cell phone, we have telephone. So.
Yeah, no, it's changed
should,
now.
We should be able to use our brain and use the telephone.
Well, correct, yeah. So I'm working under the assumption that he didn't know the contact information for the store owner to reach him to let him know, hey, I'm locked in the store. You're right, it's a good point.
You call 911.
Yeah, so the question is that if you call 911 in New York City and say, I'm locked in a store, and they say, well, are you in danger? And you say, no. And they say, is it an emergency? And you say, no. So then what they'll probably say is, okay, we'll come and get you, but we have five other emergencies that we're going to take care of before you, so you'll end up waiting there for 2 hours. So maybe you have to do that. In some cases, you may have to do that. If it's an honest mistake on everybody's part, and it wasn't Shia, it wasn't negligence, so yeah, you got to wait a little bit. But if you have to wait 12, 15 hours, or it was really just pure pshia, pure negligence on the other person's part. So I don't have to wait. I don't have to wait a few hours for the police to open the store. That's what the Chazon Ish is saying. But yeah, it depends. It all depends on the technology and on the case. You're 100% right.
So presumably, let's say he just decides not to break the glass. He's like, I'm hungry. Just like I'm stuck in here since 3 o'clock. Treat himself to, the owner's water.
Oh yeah. Oh, so that's an interesting case. That's an interesting question. I don't think so.
He made the glass, which is worth a lot more, but he can't have the guy's, salad.
Yeah, because that has nothing to do with me getting out.
No. So he's not going to break the glass, but he's staying inside.
Meaning, he's still all right, listen, I had to break the glass, right? I'll tough it out, but at least I want to be a little more comfortable.
Right, yeah, I don't think that.
Less money by taking the.
Right,
no,
I don't.
But that's called stealing.
Yeah, I don't know if the Torah gives you permission to feel comfortable.
The owner, not if I were the owner, I'd say, listen.
That's a separate question. If you somehow know for a fact that the owner would be totally fine with that, and he'd say, "Hey, I'd prefer you eat my salad than break my glass."
Okay. Is that not a presumption?
I don't know. I don't know if that's true. I don't know. People have insurance. People have insurance.
Yeah, but you also have this problem of people now coming and stealing things.
Right. So
and it's very. You can call the police and say, "Come protect it," and they're going to take 2 hours. Also.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. It means you what you have to do. You have to use your brain. That's why I shouldn't give you a brain.
Exactly. Yes. All right. Have a wonderful week, everyone. Shkach.